Broadcasting live from the KSHP studios in the heart of Las Vegas, Nevada.
It's time to get on the right side of sports betting. It's time for the Odds Couple.
Welcome to the Odds Couple on KSHP AM 1400 radio, live and worldwide on Vegas Video Network. This show is about sports betting. My name is Scott Pritchard. I'm a professional sports bettor handicapper, joined as always by my good friend, co-host Brett Grant. Happy Tuesday.
Hey, hope you had a great Memorial Day weekend. Scott, I know I did. Great to be back.
Well, I know you were in LA. I mean, we broadcast the Dodger games here on AM 1400 radio. You were in town for the weekend series.
Had a great time. Took my family and a couple of friends joined us along the way. I met up with a high school buddy I have not seen since we graduated from high school back in the mid-1980s. It just happened to be at the game as well, so we got to see each other and saw the Cardinals win 2 out of 3 and a lot of fun. Made lots of friends with Dodger fans.
What is the feeling at Dodger Stadium? The fact that the Dodgers spent all this money last year late in the season, they ended up going 19-19 in their last 38 games. The Giants won the division, ultimately went on to win the World Series, their division rivals. And now this year, expectations very high. I understand they've been hit with injuries, but they've really struggled offensively. But what is the feeling that you get from the fans? I mean, are they as loyal as ever? Are they disenchanted? What's the story?
I think they're realists from the standpoint of they don't think their team's very good. They're not sold on a variety of different guys. They know they've got some very good pieces in place. Obviously, Ramirez being hurt, Hanley Ramirez being hurt all year has hurt that team. Some pitching issues. They're not high on Matt Kemp. I'll talk about him later on. And are you kidding me? Andre Ethier. They think there's some changes that need to be made. They're not real happy.
Right, I was now tracking your trip when you were in L.A. at the Dodger games for
Stalker.
The weekend series.
Stalker.
Yeah, whatever. I do what I can to stay on top, whatever, in the best interest of this show, knowing what your hobbies, your likes, dislikes are.
Okay,
and I've discovered that you're very fond of Bloody Marys.
Yeah, I went 5 consecutive meals with a Bloody Mary. I figured I owed it to years ago, my wife and I were on a quest to find the best calamari at every restaurant. So we would always go out, and the kids liked it when they were little. So we would get the calamari appetizer at every restaurant we went to see which one we liked the most. Now I've switched over to Bloody Marys. And I've discovered one with bacon, a big strip of bacon inside of it. That's pretty darn good.
I'm getting hungry
just
listening to you.
Yeah, there are some good ones.
Let's get started with what say you, Old Man River. The San Antonio Spurs, they're old, they're senile, they're an antique team, they've got no shot. This is what I've been listening to for the past few weeks, the past few months, from anyone from the man on the street to Irvin Magic Johnson to Jalen Rose. I'm telling you, the talking heads at ESPN and TNT, Charles Barkley, Kenny Smith, all these guys, Shaquille O'Neal. Of the 8 talking heads, these are quote-unquote former players, broadcasters, experts in the world of NBA basketball. And as we all know, I had a big future on the San Antonio Spurs to win the West at plus 220, plus 250, plus 220. And what happened here was, I'm thinking, man, as we went into the Western Conference Finals, which I call the Greg Popovich Invitational because the Spurs have been there now 8 times in the last 15 years, they opened a small favorite, 110. But all the money, sharp money, wise guy, professional sports betting money came in on the Spurs. It closed 150. So I felt good about that. But, man, and that's why I don't watch TV, because so much misinformation. Perception is not reality. 7 of the 8 talking heads like the Grizzlies to beat the San Antonio Spurs. I'm thinking, wow, I must be missing something.
For a quarter?
Well,
or a half?
I guess, yeah.
Not necessarily.
Maybe they should have clarified.
Much less 4 games.
Obviously, specifically, they were talking about the Grizzlies would win the series. 7 of the 8. Wilbon was the only guy who manned up and said he liked the San Antonio Spurs. And now we know that the Spurs get no respect. And as you pointed out correctly a week ago, that's why I pounce and take advantage, because I like non-sexy, low-profile, small-market teams, because oftentimes that's where the value is. So again, Old Man River, San Antonio Spurs going to the NBA championship. What say you?
Well, very impressive. I mean, 2 of the games in the 4-game sweep did go into overtime. So the Grizzlies had their opportunities to at least extend the series and make it a more challenging endeavor for the Spurs, but Zach Randolph was pretty much neutralized and you could say horrible for the majority of the series. And I'll give you credit. You've talked about Tony Parker, and I tend to agree with you. If Tony Parker played in Los Angeles or played in New York or played in Boston or played in Chicago, there's no question he would be known as the best point guard in the NBA. He's terrific. He had 37 points yesterday, 15 of 21 in 40 minutes, and did that all series long, and he does it basically in relative anonymity in San Antonio.
That's a very good point. In fact, I've gone on record many times. My opinion is he is the best point guard in the entire league, and that's saying a lot because CP3 is the man. Russell Westbrook, obviously, when healthy, he's the man. Some guy, Kobe Bryant, not a bad player in his own right. Yeah. So it's a very small group of elite point guards in the league or guards in general. But he also had 18 assists in one of those games.
Right.
And I just felt like with Zach Randolph, I'm a big Zach Randolph fan, but he just had an atrocious series, and it has to do with the fact that Splitter much improved the Brazilian product for the Spurs starting center, Tim Duncan, Defensive Player of the Year in my mind. How does Marc Gasol, the Defensive Player of the Year, according to the Braindead media, they voted for the Defensive Player of the Year, and they announced that Marc Gasol for the Memphis Grizzlies. Well, a week later, the league came out and announced the All-NBA team. Five players, Marc Gasol not on that. Tim Duncan was. And if you ask the players who the Defensive Player of the Year is, it would be Tim Duncan. At age 37, he's reinvented himself. I mean, the guy averaging a double-double basically came on like a house on fire in this series.
He had 15 yesterday, eight rebounds in the game, and shut down Zach Randolph. I mean, Randolph had 13, was what, 4 of 13 in the game, had a very poor series overall for Memphis. And when you look at, you know, the interesting thing, if you look at game one of the series and the Spurs came back and won, it was their incredible three-point shooting that won early in the series. Yesterday, they were only 3 of 13 from three-point range. It was them getting to the basket and Tony Parker basically making layup after layup after layup in the game yesterday. That's a versatile team. And I want to ask you, regardless of who they play, whether it's the Miami Heat or the Indiana Pacers, how much of a shot do you give the Spurs to beat the Heat? Let's assume the Heat are the team. Where do you think the number is going to be on the series, and do you think the Spurs have a legitimate shot? Keep in mind, obviously, they're going to have plenty of rest going into the NBA Finals.
The finals start on June 6th, so the Spurs, and again, that's all we can ask. I mean, the Spurs are always a legit concern as long as they are healthy. Now, they were banged up during the course of the regular season. We talked about the fact that they were 3-7. They lost 7 of their last 10 games, but we were all over this team as they took on the Laker girls. And interesting, be careful what you wish for, because remember the Lakers and Rockets battling it out? They really wanted to avoid Oklahoma City. They wanted to take on a wounded team like the Spurs, again, only to get swept. And, of course, the Golden State Warriors won 2 games, but then the Memphis Grizzlies, the second-best team in the conference, ended up losing 4 consecutive games. As far as the Spurs now in the NBA Finals, obviously if they take on the Indiana Pacers, Spurs have home court, they would be a pretty good size favorite. The fact that it's likely that they're going to be on the road taking on the Miami Heat, as much love and respect as I have for the San Antonio Spurs, I would be hard-pressed to think that they would win against the Heat 4 times in a 7-game series, especially knowing that the Heat would have home court. 4 of the 7 games would be in Miami, but the format would favor the dog, a la the San Antonio Spurs, because 3 of the first 5 games would be in San Antonio, which defies logic, but that's David Stern being David Stern. I know it's a corrupt league, and when I talk corrupt league, I'm talking specifically David Stern and specifically, more specifically, the NBA officials. Bill Simmons said something. I commend him. I mean, I watched that game last night, and it's one of those things where, I mean, I thought maybe it's just me because I'm biased, maybe perhaps because I have a big future on the San Antonio Spurs, but I'm watching the game objectively, and it makes me want to vomit because it's the most corrupt sport, NBA basketball. But know this. I know this when I step up to the bet window and bet. But the NBA officials are a joke. And I was watching that game thinking, wow, the Spurs are getting hosed. And you expect that on the road. I get that. But countless times, Marc Gasol clocks Tony Parker in the face, in the eye after the shot. And then the very next play, he reaches in. A 7-foot center reaches in, 40 feet from the basket, clocks Tony Parker's arm. I mean, it's crunch time. The game is still in up for grabs. It is. And it was off of Tony Parker. But those are two examples. I could give you 15. But Bill Simmons said after the game that he was happy that the Spurs won because it was one of the worst officiated games he had seen in quite some time. But there's been a conspiracy for a long time that David Stern does not like Greg Popovich.
Right.
And Joey Crawford, definitely, the numbers bear this out. So whenever Joey Crawford is officiating, be careful. Buyer beware. Now, I tracked this recently, and of course, this is according to Tim Donaghy, the former NBA official from 1994 to 2007, was on the take. But he was in bed with these guys, with the other officials. And so his book is very interesting because he shares a lot of inside info as far as the mindset of a lot of these officials and Dick Bavetta and Joey Crawford and Steve Javy. I'll give you just one example. I could give you 1,000, but I'm going to give you one. Steve Javy had it in for Allen Iverson, one of my favorite players. No one had more heart than Allen Iverson. Never mind that he's broke today. He's a great basketball player, but he lacks some money management skills.
Yeah, he did not balance a checkbook.
And we're all guilty of something at one time or another, right. But I love the guy. He never took a play, never took a game off. He never, ever mailed it in.
Practice?
We're talking about practice.
That still is one of the greatest.
Of the best rants ever.
Well, if you combined Allen Iverson's practice rant with Jim Mora's playoff rant and put the two together.
Playoffs?
You'd have a great little rant there.
I like it. But just to get back to anyone who wants to argue this point that the officials are not human or that they don't have a short memory, I'm here to tell you it's BS because they do. I'll give you just one example. Steve Javy and Allen Iverson, they had a feud for quite some time. Javy, an NBA official for quite some time. Allen Iverson, the man for the Philadelphia 76ers, was traded eventually to the Denver Nuggets. And as he's playing for the Denver Nuggets, they go to Philadelphia one time. One time, West meets East. So it's a big homecoming for Allen Iverson. He gets to basically, it's his night. It's Allen Iverson night in Philly, making a return to the city of brotherly love. They embraced him, standing ovation. It's a warm, fuzzy feeling for everybody. It's pretty cool. Steve Javy is one of the three officials.
Right.
And what does he do? He
throws him out of the game.
Calls Iverson not for one technical, but two, and tosses him out of the game. So Javy got the last laugh, and Iverson simply said after the game, he was heartsick, heartbroken, and he says, yeah, it was his way of sticking it to me. That's just absurd. So, basically all Javy did was confirm what a lot of us already know, that these officials are corrupt, they're a joke, but we know this going in. So, again, just arm yourself with as much information as you possibly can. For the Spurs, fortunately for them, they were strong enough, deep enough, and mentally tough enough to overcome the BS calls during that game last night.
I don't see this so much in the NFL. There's a little bit of it in baseball, but in the NBA it happens quite a bit where the referees and the players are talking to each other all the time. They're like having social conversations. While somebody's shooting a free throw, there's a conversation going on with a player. Or there's this camaraderie between the players, and sometimes where you don't see that where somebody's standing next to Ed Hockley and having a conversation with Ed Hockley, but they'll do it in the NBA where these guys are – I don't know if they're part of the fraternity or whatever it is, but I'm sure it would probably be a little bit differently if the officials were a little more standoffish and said, I'm here to ref the game. I'm not here to be your buddy or your pal. Kind of like a teacher trying to be your friend in the classroom as opposed to, no, I'm the teacher, you're the student, I'm the referee, you're the participant. Let's not cross or blur that line between friendship or enemy or vice. I see that a lot in the NBA. I don't see it as much in the other sports.
As long as you bring it up, just look at the very first play last night. Tell me that the refs did not want to extend or that the league did not want to extend this series. The very first possession for the Memphis Grizzlies, two players hit the deck. Tony Allen, it was clearly off Tony Allen. And two officials said San Antonio Spurs basketball. The guy standing near midcourt overrules because the fans were upset and the players were upset that it was going to San Antonio. The replay clearly showed, blatantly.
Right.
So how can you overrule something based on what you did not see? It's idiotic. It's annoying. And the other thing is I don't like the broadcasters, but I love Jeff Van Gundy. Mm-hmm. Just like I love Bill Walton, because these guys have the courage to man up and speak their mind, and they have an original thought. I mean, I love it. Jeff Van Gundy was great because 2 games ago, as an example, I mean, it was late in the game. And Tony Allen, again, the ball was out of bounds. Anyone and everyone could see that it was off of Tony Allen. And so the one official, he couldn't tell. So he did the right thing by asking for Derek Stafford's help. And Derek Stafford said, Memphis ball. So, but what do? He says, clearly Memphis ball. We all know it's Spurs ball. We all know it was off Tony Allen. And Derek Stafford saw it, and he said, Spurs ball. But what does he do? Because he's an attention whore, like all these other NBA officials. Let's check it out. And the only reason he did it was to say, look, I got one right. And it's like Jeff Van Gundy said, he said, well, it used to be that we would only do the replay when we were in doubt. Now we overuse it and overdo it. And the only reason Stafford did that, I guarantee you, was to make himself look good, like, wow, you got one right. So you're 1 for 14. Congratulations. But to the bigger point that Van Gundy mentioned, it breaks up, it slows down the game, the momentum, all the players. We're talking about $1.30 to go in the game.
Right.
The game is on the line. It's a photo. It could go either way. Hold on. Let me stop the game. Look at me. I got a call right.
Well, when you look at the NCAA tournament this past year, the Ohio State-Iowa State game, I think that was the game when Ohio State won the game late with a very late shot. It was one of those two games that Ohio State won. Thad Matta purposely did not call timeout when his team had the ball for the final shot because he knew the other team did not have a timeout. So when he makes the basket, they immediately stop and go to replay to go see how much time should be left on the clock or not. And it gave the other team basically a free timeout to set up a play, where that's not what replay is supposed to do. Whereas I think in the Big Ten conference games, they will go and wait for the next official whistle, an official timeout, a foul, the end of the clock, and then they will review it. They are not going to stop play unless there is a stoppage in play from the standpoint of the ball got knocked out of bounds or somebody traveled or there was a foul call and a normal whistle would blow. Then they go back and look at it as opposed to stopping the action to go do it. Make the other team call a timeout. Make them do something, then go back and review it. Why can't they do it that way?
Well, again, I realize it's a thankless job being an official at the highest level. It's impossible to catch everything. But as time goes along, it's just amazing to me what I see on a night-in, night-out basis. And that's what come I think Dink might be onto something. You might be onto something. Because from a spectator sport standpoint, I mean, NBA basketball is a terrible sport to watch. A terrible sport to watch because there is so much downtime, dead time, and really, do I really want to sit here and watch these two teams attempt 75 free throws? Give me a break. Zach Randolph in this series, I mean, it's one thing. Your best player needs to step up
right
and carry the team, and Zach is the man. He struggled in every single game, but that's a credit to the coaching scheme strategy for the Spurs and the fact that Duncan and Splitter are two tall, long trees. The thing I cannot forgive Zach Randolph for is free throw shooting. He's close right to an 80% free throw shooter, and there were some close games, man. They missed free throws late, and I can tell you why. It's because they have no bench, and these guys are dog-ass tired. And, I mean, who could blame them?
Yeah,
they've gone with 5 guys. Now, Pondexter was a pleasant surprise. The guy came on off the bench. He was one of the few bright spots for this team. Prince has been a joke. I thought that he actually was a good clog, a good fit for this team, as opposed to Rudy Gay, because he plays good team defense and doesn't have an ego. But Prince was a total non-factor.
Well, I think you got the one thing we really haven't really discussed was Greg Popovich versus Lionel Hollins, and that was a mismatch. That was Muhammad Ali against a flyweight, in my opinion, when you look at the heavyweight coaching ability of Greg Popovich versus a guy in Lionel Hollins who had never gotten to this point before. Not that he's not an apt coach and won't gain valuable experience from being in the finals for the very first time, but that was a royal mismatch.
Absolutely. In fact, Popovich against basically anybody. I mean, Phil Jackson, I give him credit for winning 11 championships. He didn't win a single championship without Michael Jordan or Kobe Bryant. But again, I love Phil Jackson because he won with talent. A lot of teams have talent, but a lot of teams underachieve. But Greg Popovich, is a much better coach, in my opinion, than Phil Jackson, because he gets more done with less. Now, they've gone to the NBA championship 5 times under his tutelage, and they're 4-0 in the NBA finals. Respectfully, I don't think they're going to beat the Miami Heat 4 times in a 7-game series. I do expect that they would knock off the Indiana Pacers just based on matchups, based on home court advantage. But as we say, the late great Chick Hearn told me, man to man, friend to friend, the reason that they have the 2-3-2 format in the NBA Finals, which, again, to me is idiotic. You play the entire season, and then all the playoffs come, it's a 2-2-1-1-1 format. All right, now we're in the finals. Let's be in a hurry. All right, let's change things up. So let's reward negative behavior. In other words, if you win 10 to 15 games less than the favorite, we're going to reward you by making sure that you get your home games in. And the reason the league does this is to encourage at least a 6-game series. Well, that's good for the league. It doesn't do squat for the team that busted it and has proven that they are the best team to get home court advantage. They only get to play 4 of the 7 games at home if it goes 7 games or 6 games. 3 of the first 5 will be at the dog. So that really favors the dog, which, again, is illogical, but we're talking about the same way in baseball. An exhibition game in July, the All-Star game. Okay, whoever wins gets to host the World Series. I mean, are you kidding me? I mean, it's just idiotic.
Well, I agree with you. And if you look at in the NHL right now, the Chicago Blackhawks and the Detroit Red Wings will be playing a Game 7 tomorrow night. And in that particular series, the Red Wings led 3-1 after 4 games. But because Game 5 went back to Chicago as opposed to staying in Detroit, the Blackhawks were able to win and make it 3-2, went into Detroit yesterday and won. Now it's 3-3. Had that series been the 2-3-2 format, the Red Wings would have had Game 5 with all the momentum on their home ice and a chance to close out the Blackhawks using that same logic. And more than likely probably would have, but it was the fact that the Blackhawks had earned that right that, and we all know, the most important game in a series typically is Game 5. And Game 5 in the NBA Finals potentially is going to be at the weaker team's home floor with a chance perhaps to close somebody out.
You're listening to The Odds Couple on KSHP AM 1400 Radio, Sin City, Las Vegas, Nevada. Live and worldwide, Vegas Video Network. My name is Scott Pritchard. This show, The Odds Couple, is about sports betting. I'm a professional sports bettor handicapper featured all over my own website, PritchardsPicks.com. Some of the information is free. Some of it you have to pay for. Get dialed in at PritchardsPicks.com. Free picks on a day-to-day basis. You can't beat that. Now, I'm also featured on VegasInsider.com. We have 1 million views per day. I've been with that site for the past 10 to 12 years. I like that site because the plays are time-stamped and documented. RefPicks.com, Tim Donahue's site. I mentioned Tim before. We're going to have a segment here starting in a few short weeks, Tuesdays with Tim. Tim is going to be my guest every Tuesday for about 15 minutes on this show. Former NBA official from 1994 to 2007, has his own sports betting site, RefPicks.com. I'm one of the featured handicappers on that site. Now, the phone line is open, 702-221-7283. Would love to hear from you if you have a question in regards to sports, namely sports betting, feel free, 702-221-7283. Now, we talk about NBA playoffs. The Spurs are in the final. The Miami Heat, they're up 2-1 against the Pacers. But we do want to tell you, you mentioned it briefly, Stanley Cup playoffs, Game 7, Blackhawks taking on the Red Wings, Game 7. Doesn't get much more exciting than this. I believe the game is tomorrow night. But I want to talk the difference between hockey as a spectator sport, and also I like it from a sports betting standpoint. I don't do a lot with hockey. I'll step out on a total now and again, only if I'm getting 10, 15 cents the best of it. But my question for you is, how does hockey compare? I mean, to me, the officials don't determine the outcome of the game.
Well, they might have yesterday, and we have a live chat comment from our good friend Steve saying the Blackhawks were the beneficiaries of a rare call in a playoff game yesterday, and they were awarded a penalty shot in a very tight 3-2 game in Detroit where a player clearly had a breakaway, and he was slashed right in the hands, and the puck came off his stick. He wasn't able to get a shot, and they called a penalty shot, which in the NHL, though, is still not quite a 50-50 proposition that you're going to score on a penalty shot. The goalie, ironically, has the advantage, I think, overall in a penalty shot. But in this particular instance, the Blackhawks scored, went up 4-2 in the game, held on for a 4-3 win. But there's a lot of times when in a playoff game where the NHL is famous for swallowing their whistle. And if you take the movie Slapshot, for example, where guys being slashed and hit and hacked and tripped and almost everything except shot are not being called penalties, when you're saying that's been a penalty for 80 games during the regular season, but in the playoffs we don't call anything, to the sensitivity of a call like yesterday in a critical situation where I guarantee you 10 years ago, 5 years ago, that call would not have been called a penalty shot in that situation. It might have been called a hooking penalty, but the guy clearly had a breakaway, and they called it a penalty shot. There is a Game 7 tonight in Los Angeles between the LA Kings and the San Jose Sharks, which is going to be a terrific game. The home team has won all six games in the series. The Blackhawks, I should say the Kings, have been terrific at home with the way of Jonathan Quick, their goaltending situation. But, you know, from an in-person standpoint, watching the NHL in person versus watching other sports, and I love baseball and I love the NFL, and I'm not a monster NBA fan, but the thing about the NHL is it's nonstop action. When there is a timeout or there is a whistle's the best thing. They've got 30 seconds to get to the faceoff, and they'll drop the puck. There's only two commercial timeouts per period, so you're not taking break after break. Each team is only awarded one timeout for the entire game, not like the NBA. What is it, 4.5, 5.5?
Right.
We have to babysit these guys every two
right.
seconds.
Right.
I know you're making $32 million, but guys, let's call timeout.
Let's talk about this.
The last 2 minutes of a hockey game, they last 2 minutes. The last two minutes of an NBA game, I got time to run for the buffet,
stand
in line for a while,
no doubt.
Get my chicken, come back and go, hey, there's still 45 seconds left to go.
So we appreciate the live chat questions and comments. Steve, I know he's on here on a day-to-day basis, so keep those live chat questions coming. But I think that's it's an isolated incident. That's the exception as opposed to the rule. Yesterday, yeah, I get that and as in regards to the officials getting involved, but more times than not, especially in hockey, the players will decide the outcome of
right.
the game. Unlike basketball, I mean, the home team, we know, home cooking, home court advantage, 20,000 fans. My favorite team during the course of the regular season is HOME, the home team, because I know come crunch time it's 8-5. Of course, the odds makers know this as well, and they will shade it one way or the other. The other thing I think I've mentioned to you, I don't know if I've ever shared this on the air, but you know, we have one female ref, and we know we all love women and girls. Ladies, women, because of their pleasing nature, they don't, I mean, I'm just saying that in the NBA, when handicapping games, if I know that the one female ref, she's a homer. I mean, because she does not like to be criticized, and
right.
she doesn't want 20,000 fans booing her call, and my statistics have bared this out. So keep that in mind as, well, for next year anyway.
You're saying she's too sensitive.
I'm saying
she can't handle the
booing. I'm saying knowledge is power. Use it to your advantage from
okay.
a sports betting standpoint, okay?
Okay?
Because that has proven. That has been documented. That has been proven. But you won't see her officiating any NBA playoff games. But during the course of the regular season, it's just one more thing that you can use and put in your back pocket. It's like, wow, I've got a streak going here, winning or losing. I have a female ref and I like the home team, so all that helps. She's
okay.
going to swallow the whistle late in the game as opposed to calling a foul on one of the main players. So keep that in mind.
It's a good point.
Everything okay. you ever wanted to know but were too afraid to ask. You're listening to The Odds Couple on KSHP AM 1400 Radio. Scott Pritchard alongside Brett Grant. It's a happy Tuesday.
We're like
Scott Whitney
we're like
and Jacob Cannon are having way too much fun.
Yeah, they took your last comment. And we got a frat party going on in the room next door over here.
Well, we're going to keep things moving, talking Game 3 now, NBA Eastern Conference Finals, the Miami Heat taking on the Indiana Pacers. I'm going to bring in the big bad wheel. This segment is called Spin to Win. The Heat on the road taking on the Pacers. The point spread for this game is 2. The Pacers are down 2-1, but they have the home court. The smart better bets with his head, never his heart. Check your emotions. Check your ego at the door. I'm forced to make an argument for which team?
The Heat.
The Heat.
We have an oven down here, by the way, if you scroll that down a little bit. Scott Whitney's – keep going. There you go. A little more. Get a picture. There's the – is that an oven or is
it – it's supposed to be like a A space heater.
All right, we live in Las Vegas. How about a fan of a car? It's going to be 100 degrees this week. All right, okay, there you go. You have the Heat.
The Miami Heat minus the 2 points on the road, taking on the Indiana Pacers. Again, I'm forced to make an argument for this side. Brett automatically has to present an argument for the opposing team because a smart bettor knows that you think with your head, never your heart, and you should be able to understand an argument from both sides of the coin before you step up to the bet window. The Miami Heat minus the 2 points. How many times have I said during the course of the playoffs that cream will rise to the top? Talent generally will win out. The Pacers are a feel-good story, much like the Memphis Grizzlies and the Denver Nuggets and the Golden State Warriors were a feel-good story. I like the Heat because they have the better team. Yes, they're on the road, and the Pacers match up favorably. But what surprised me was in the last game, the Pacers at home did not control and dictate tempo. They allowed the Heat to run. And you don't want to get into a scoring contest with the Heat because, again, talent will win out. You want to slow it down, play a half-court set, and everything, every possession to the point where it's magnified and it actually means something. The Heat controlled the tempo. They like to run and gun, get out in transition. I mean, can you imagine? As challenging as it is to guard LeBron James, trying to guard him in transition. So the Miami Heat minus the 2, the point spreads are irrelevant, obviously. I mean, the only two numbers that could hurt you is 1 or 2. Lay the 2 points, take the Heat, see the cashier.
Well, on the other side, you look at the Pacers. They played very well in Miami in games 1 and 2. Should have won game 1, did win game 2. Did not play well at all in game 3. And the interesting thing is this series has been very high scoring. All 3 games have gone over the total. So to me, the Pacers have kind of gotten away from their identity as a very good defensive team. They are a team that is 4-0 coming off of a straight up loss in their last 4 matchups. So I would expect them to play much better today, and I would expect them from a defensive standpoint to be able to get themselves back under control and play the tempo that they know they need to play to be successful. So I'm going to get points at home in a situation, plus the zigzag theory has been really good all through the playoffs. I got a team that didn't play well in game 3, lost straight up at home. Now they're getting points at home. I like my chances with the Pacers.
The thing that surprised me in the last game, Brett, was not the fact that the Heat won the game, because again, it kind of is reminiscent of when the Spurs were 1-1 going to Golden State, the better team won, and the better team won in game 3 with the Heat blowing out the Indiana Pacers. The thing that surprised me in that game, the total. I mean, they shattered the over.
They did, yeah.
And again, it goes back to some adjustments that the Heat made. And I mean, I'm a big Vogel fan, the coach for the Pacers, but he did not coach or make necessary adjustments during the course of that game. It's like, why would you get into a track meet with LeBron James?
Yeah, he blew game 1 with some of his defensive
with Hibbert being on the bench.
Hibbert being on the bench, right. Played great in game 2, and then yesterday, or the other day, let the thoroughbred out of the stable way too much, right? I mean,
yeah,
he had him running up and down the floor, and you can't do that with him.
Right, right.
You know.
So we're talking sports betting on the odds couple. Scott Pritchard, professional sports bettor handicapper. Check out my site, pritchardspicks.com. Brett Grant, GM here at KSHP AM 1400 Radio. We're live and worldwide Monday through Friday, AM 1400 Radio, and simulcast on Vegas Video Network. I love Vegas Video Network. As good as this show is, compliments of you, there are multiple shows. Every single show on this network is off the hook great.
Oh, I appreciate that. We have a good time.
That's the name of the game. Have some fun, make some money, put some money into your pocket.
Right.
I'm in a jovial mood because I'm 12-4 in my last.
Is that why?
Do grown men use the word jovial, by the way?
Well, not straight men.
It's the last time I ever used that word. 12-4 in my last 16 plays, ATS against the spread, betting baseball totals, betting NBA sides totals, and maybe a small favorite. I hesitate to lay the lumber long-term betting baseball, but 12-4, I'll take it. My good buddy Anthony Padilla, once again, he's fired up, man. He's ready to start another streak. We both went 1-0 on Friday, so Anthony went something like 15, 16, 17, and 1. Unbelievable. And now he's 1-0 again. I know this because he keeps reminding me.
Yeah. I think I won on Thursday before I left as well. Of course, we weren't here for the Memorial Day holiday. But overall, we've been doing very, very well.
Well, let's keep it going. We're going to take a quick commercial break. We'll be right back.
Have you ever thought you should be on the radio? Or have you considered doing an online video show or podcast? If so, now is your only chance to do both at the same time. KSHP and the Vegas Video Network have teamed up to provide the only multi-camera broadcast quality video and live radio simulcast in Las Vegas. And instead of having your show played at some ungodly hour, the KSHP Vegas Video Network partnership is producing shows that play from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. Monday through Friday. Imagine having your own radio show broadcasting to the entire Las Vegas Valley, and combine that with an online presence that is viewed in all 50 states and 150 countries, both live and on demand. This is a first and an outstanding opportunity to give voice to your business, your ideas, and your talent. If you'd like your own show on KSHP and the Vegas Video Network, contact us today at 221-1200. That's 221-1200.
Friendly reminder that the studio line is open, 702-221-7283. We're live and worldwide on Vegas Video Network, simulcast on KSHP AM 1400 radio. My name is Scott Pritchard, professional sports bettor, handicapper, joined alongside Brett Grant. We would love for you to reach out to us on the show. Simply email us at oddscouple@vegasvideonetwork.com. That's oddscouple@vegasvideonetwork.com. We also have web-based voicemail. Simply go to our site, Vegas Video Network. Right-hand side, you'll see a red bar. Click there. Middle of the page, green bar, start recording. Live chat up and running. I believe we heard from Steve earlier, so keep those live chat questions, comments coming. We love having you be a part of the show. It's great. I mean, this show was only successful because of you, the listener, because of you, the viewer. Also, now, if you do miss us live, don't worry about it. You can reach out to us on Vegas Video Network, iTunes, YouTube, Roku. Frustration. I don't have to look far to find it, whether it's in relationships, whether it's in the food that I eat, the weight that I have, the concerns that I have.
The scale you step on?
I try. I've broken too many of those scales.
I heard
scales.
We have, not to interrupt your flow, but I hear we have a new wager.
You know, you would think I would learn my lesson. Right. But again, I have opinions. I own my opinions. And sometimes those opinions come back to bite me. Now, Anthony Padilla called me out maybe 4 or 5 weeks ago when he went on record as saying that the Warriors have a good shot at beating the Denver Nuggets. I said, are you out of your mind? He said, if I'm right and you're wrong, will you shave your head? I said, yeah, of course. Well, you know, 6 games later, he brought the Clippers and shaved my head. But now there's a new sheriff in town. Her name, Jessica. And she's called me out on, because I keep saying, hey, I'm going to get back on my kick tomorrow. I'm going to start dropping weight tomorrow. And so she called me out, and now we have a friendly wager. You can go ahead. I think she posted it on Facebook, so
yeah,
you know what
did,
we're
yeah.
talking about.
Right, right.
But you can go ahead and are you familiar
you
with the terms?
You realize that tomorrow never comes. That's
yeah,
why you're.
I've heard that.
Jessica called your BS on that, apparently.
Well, and she's a smart lady.
Okay.
And she's also apparently wants to embarrass me in front of everyone, because the bet is I have to drop 22 pounds between now and August 31. If I do, great. Life is good. I'll be feeling better. I'll be healthy. I'm in. There is no way I will lose this bet. I will drop 22 pounds between today and August 31. If for any reason lightning strikes and I don't, then she's coerced me into doing a pole dance class together, and she's going to videotape it and put it up on Facebook. So
as
the
long
incentive,
as we're not installing a pole in the studio. I'm okay.
Yeah, we're not going to do that one here live.
Okay, thank you.
But so yeah, that's the bet. So the incentive to drop the weight, I think it's reasonable. I mean, as it is right now, I've dropped 4 pounds in the last 3 years. That has to do. It's true what they say, my friend. I mean, Brett. It has to do with the key to dropping weight and keeping it off is to do it slowly.
Right, right. You're
but
doing
I think 22 pounds in a 3-month window is a lot, but I think it's attainable.
I think you can do it. I think you can do it. Yeah.
You don't sound convinced.
Well,
I think you
your
can.
Your track record's not very good.
Really? What, I'm 0-1?
Your hair is growing back. I'll tell you what. The question is, will your hair grow back faster than you lose the weight?
That's a good question.
We might
take the over-under on that. We're talking sports betting, Vegas Video Network, KSHP, Scott Pritchard, PritchardsPicks.com, alongside Brett Grant. I have to say that when it comes to frustration in sports betting, you don't have to look far. Are you kidding me?
Well, I'm going to go to Are You Kidding Me, because I watched it in person over the weekend, and I'm a big Cardinal fan and not necessarily a Dodger fan, but we carry the Dodgers on the radio station. I wanted to mention, when you look at what I saw over the weekend with Matt Kemp is getting Had a great year, of course, in 2011. Everybody talked about he should have been the MVP that year. Had a phenomenal year at 39 home runs, 100-plus RBIs. It ended up that Ryan Braun later on tested positive for a prohibitive substance. And everybody said, well, Matt Kemp should have been the MVP. Well, I watched Matt Kemp over the weekend. He went 0-for-3 on Friday night and struck out twice. On Saturday, he went 0-for-3 and struck out twice. And Don Mattingly took him out of the game in a double switch. Took out his star, his all-star center fielder, which you never see happen. His number three hitter in the lineup. Took him out of the game and benched him. Matt Kemp didn't handle it very well. He threw his bat. Not his bat. He threw his hat, I should say. Started close enough, three letters. He threw his glove. He scowled at his manager. He screamed at him. Sunday came along. Guess what? Matt Kemp wasn't in the lineup on Sunday. Had a day off. Came back yesterday against the Anaheim Angels. He went 0-for-4. Had the golden sombrero. That's not the same as a Frank Zappa golden shower, by the way. He had four strikeouts. So for the weekend, on Friday, Saturday, and Monday, the three games that he played in, 0-for-10 with eight strikeouts for Matt Kemp. Are you kidding me? That's one of the reasons and one of the main reasons why the Dodgers are in last place in the National League West.
I kind of get the impression that you're not a big Don Mattingly fan.
I think Don Mattingly might be the worst in-game manager in baseball.
It's interesting because he was such...
I said might be, Scott Whitney.
He was such a great player, but oftentimes great players do not equate to great managers.
Well, I think some of the things he does, there's going by the book. There's sometimes where you want to buck the trend and do something you like. I'll give you a couple of examples. Ted Lilly was pitching terrific against the Cardinals on Saturday night, I think it was, and up 3-1. He allowed a single in the sixth inning. He had only thrown 80 pitches at that point. They took him out of the game. Next thing you know, Cardinals, boom, boom, game's tied 3-3. The next day, Clayton Kershaw, his big ace, is coming to bat in a tie game with two outs and the bases loaded in the bottom of the sixth inning, and Don Mattingly allows Clayton Kershaw to bat. Cardinals go on to obviously get him out and go on and win the game easily. That's just two examples of what I've seen from Don Mattingly. Just horrible decisions.
Are you kidding me? Is the name of this segment. We're talking about frustration, sports betting. Brett, thank you for your insight. Amazing. 0-for-10, your star player Kemp with eight strikeouts. He was there in person to witness it because I'm not sure I would actually believe that. Eight strikeouts, 10 at-bats at home, your marquee player. So, I mean, that's a bit of a surprise. Matt Kemp, I'm a big fan, but obviously he's struggling. And Mattingly not helping his cause. I know you have my back. I have yours. But Don Mattingly to pull his star player, the number three man in the lineup, to me it's a bit absurd.
Well, he only has two home runs and 17 RBIs so far through about 50 games.
Well, based on the fact he came back then after being pulled and went 0-for-4, I mean, obviously,
can't blame Mattingly in that regard.
Well, it's true, but it certainly didn't help his confidence, though, either.
Right.
So, okay, I'm talking about the Kansas City Royals. This is a team that, of course, they won the World Series in 1985 against your St. Louis Cardinals.
They stole it.
And, well, Don Denkinger actually helped their cause.
He handed it over to them.
But the Royals, man, for the past few years, all I've been hearing is this team, their farm system, they have young prospects, pitching, defense, speed, hitting. But this team now, they've lost six consecutive games. To me, they're the same old Royals. Are you kidding me?
Well, the ironic thing, you mentioned 1985, and I remember exactly. It's kind of like people remember where they were when President Kennedy got shot. I know exactly where I was when Don Denkinger made that call as a Cardinal fan. But the ironic thing, people talk about, you know, the Cardinals got the shaft in the 85 World Series, and the Royals, who had a very good team that year, won the series. But since that time, since October of 1985, the Kansas City Royals have played in exactly zero postseason baseball games. So the curse of Don Denkinger actually is on the Kansas City Royals. The Cardinals have won 64 postseason games since that time, where the Royals have never played in one. And they have just been butchers, whether it's been in cultivating their talent, trading their talent away, managers, everything. They just have not done anything right. They've had plenty of great players in Kansas City. They just decided to let them go. Guys like Carlos Beltran, who's pretty good player still to this day, was originally a member of the Kansas City Royals. And there's many examples of guys like that. So for whatever reason, their management has been their biggest problem.
Do you see anything changing on the field for the Royals in the near future?
Well, I mean, they do have some talent there. The question is, are they able to keep the talent? The problem is, the biggest problem is, nobody wants to play in Kansas City. So when guys get through and they get to the free agency, they're not staying with Kansas City. They're moving to go somewhere else. It's a beautiful ballpark. It's a great city. Wonderful barbecue. You'd love it in Kansas City.
But not today.
Not today. But you still have some barbecue. They have locale sauce.
Do they?
No.
Great.
No. And it's a great area. It's a Midwestern town. I love Kansas City. But for whatever reason, they cannot attract the great free agents, and they cannot keep their best players. And another example, guess where Albert Pujols grew up? He grew up in Kansas City. The Cardinals drafted him in about the 40th round. That means the Royals passed on him 30,
and everyone else,
40
yeah.
times.
Right.
And he was in their backyard and didn't draft him.
Amazing.
Yeah. So
you're listening to The Odds Couple on KSHP AM 1400 Radio and Vegas Video Network. Scott Pritchard, PritchardsPicks.com. I'm doing another sports betting seminar, How to Bet Football and Win. It's opening weekend, the first Friday in September, Friday, September 6th. Harrah's on the Strip, 9A to 5P, $697 workshop-type environment. If you sign up by August 20th, it's $397. A lot of this information will stay with you forever and ever. The old adage, you can teach an Eskimo. I mean, you can invite an Eskimo over to fish, you feed him for a night. You teach him how to fish, you feed him for a lifetime. We've all heard that, but it's true. It's applicable in regards to sports betting. Yes, we educate you as much as we possibly can on this show. Dink, featured in the movie Lay the Favorite, starring Bruce Willis's Dink, will be joining me 9A, 5P, Friday, September 6th. Harrah's on the Strip. Go to PritchardsPicks.com to get dialed in. This is the part of the show. It's pretty exciting because we put money into your pocket as Brett Grant and I together put you on the right side.
Well, for me, the right side, recapping what I did, it seems like a week and a half ago on Thursday. I don't remember the game, but I know I won.
Yes.
I think I had a hockey game, maybe. I don't remember what I even had. But anyway,
I'm pretty sure you did.
I think
I did. Because a friend of mine played your side.
Oh.
Which, by the way, as a professional sports bettor, this same friend, we were, don't mean to interrupt, but it's okay. Payback because you interrupted me earlier. So
okay.
Trying to balance
hit for
scale.
Tat, we're good to go.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. Right. But a friend of mine tracks the show daily, and this person, I'm a professional sports bettor, having won sports handicapping contests in Las Vegas, and you are a well-versed fan who bets every day. And we were on the same game. The Pirates were playing someone about a week ago,
right. And
I like the under, and you like the side. Well, my friend texted me to say, hey, I bet Brett's game today. Well, we both won, but I'm thinking, why Brett and not me? What am I, chopped liver? Story of my life.
Somebody's learning quick. Although I'll take the tickets in your pocket there. I'll cash those.
The gladly. Spurs tickets, right.
Yeah, those are nice. Right. Hey, give you credit for those. I'm going to go to the teams we were just talking about. The Kansas City Royals, ironically, interleague player playing the I-70 series against the St. Louis Cardinals in Kansas City. And the Cardinals are the best team in baseball record-wise. They are the best team in baseball on the road. They're 18-6 in their last 24 road games. I want to say 19-9 overall on the season on the road. And they're 4-0 in their last four interleague games against teams with losing records. Everything here is pointing to the Cardinals. Also, the Cardinals basically an underdog in this day today. They're 5-0 in their last five roles as an underdog, and they're playing Kansas City. They have a rookie lefty and Trevor Lyons on the mound today for the Cardinals. But at even money, you're going to give me the best team in baseball against the Kansas City team that is really struggling right now. The Royals are not playing very good baseball at all. I think they're 4-9 in their last 13 interleague games against a lefty. Plus the fact that they're 1-4 in their last five games. They're just not playing very well. They're backed, as you said, to being the Kansas City Royals. And they're just, to me, the wrong team's favored. I'm going to take the Cardinals at even money today to beat the Kansas City Royals.
Before we get to my right side, would like to recap what I did on Friday. Winner, winner, chicken dinner, had under. It fell 2-1, liking it. 12 winners, 4 losses in my last 16 plays. I have a baseball total. You have about 12 minutes to get down on this game. Again, I can't be swayed based on when these games. I like to give as much shelf life on my games as possible. But when I find out that listeners are just going with you and not me, it annoys me. So now, okay, now you get to speed race to the sports book. I'm giving you 11 minutes, all right? That's a penalty. All right, looking at a baseball game today, the Colorado Rockies, I'm not sensitive, and I'm certainly not bitter. But maybe I should move on.
You sure you're not a female referee?
Okay, Colorado Rockies on the road taking on the Houston Astros. Interleague baseball. Looking at the pitching matchup, you have De La Rosa, a lefty, versus the righty Lyles. Their ERAs are high. Their whip factor is high, 1.31 versus 1.60. That's walks, hits per innings pitch. It's more than what you would like it to be. The total is 9. I feel fine going under the 9. The Rockies never hit well on the road. The Astros never hit anywhere. So under 9 is where the value is in my mind. Hopefully tomorrow when we talk, I'll be 13-4, 12-4 going into today. You're listening to The Odds Couple, KSHP, AM 1400 Radio, live and worldwide, Vegas Video Network, Scott Pritchard, PritchardsPicks.com, Brett Grant. Let's talk baseball streaks. Right now, winning streak, the Boston Red Sox and the Oakland A's both have won 4 consecutive games. The A's, man, their winning streak, losing streak, they're all over the place.
Yeah, they can't decide what they want to do yet, what their identity is, but they're playing well again right now. They're back up over 6 games over 500, 9-1 in their last 10 games after a streak where they had, gone about 1-9 before that.
Well, the Cleveland Indians, on the other side of the coin, they have lost 4 consecutive games. We talked about the Royals struggling and, of course, the Miami Marlins. It's only news if they actually win a game. They've lost 6 consecutive games. They've had the Royals. The Cleveland Indians have lost 4 consecutive games. Let's take a look at the divisions now. The Boston Red Sox looking good in the American League East. The Detroit Tigers in the Central. And, of course, the Texas Rangers in the American League West.
Yeah, I'm not surprised by any of those teams necessarily. A little bit by Boston. I'm still not 100% sold on Boston. I think Baltimore is a pretty good team. I think the Yankees are a team that might be overachieving a little bit despite all their injuries. If the Yankees get healthy, I think they'll have a very good shot to win that division. Toronto, the team that spent all that money, 9.5 games out, 7 games under 500. So it's been a bad year for Toronto.
Let's talk about the National League division leaders at this point. The Atlanta Braves in first place, along with the St. Louis Cardinals in the National League West. The Arizona Diamondbacks, in spite of the fact their bullpen, they've had some real problems. Otherwise, they would be running away with that division.
Well, a bunch of teams have had problems in their bullpens closing out games. The Orioles, we mentioned. The Indians had some problems. And now it's the Arizona Diamondbacks having the same thing, although they have won 3 in a row and playing well in a game-and-a-half lead over the Giants, who, ironically, the Giants' problem has been their starting pitching. They've been giving up a lot of runs, specifically Matt Cain, who's been very bad so far this year.
Cain, the epitome of continuity and consistency last year, the man. You're right, for whatever reason, he struggled, but we'll see how it plays out during the course of a 162-game season. We're talking baseball. This is a sports betting show, The Odds Couple, Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. Las Vegas time. And I bring this up and I remind you because it's interesting. We talk about winning streaks, losing streaks. We know that the Angels, we've been calling this for weeks, since early April, the fact that their starting pitching is atrocious, their middle relief closing situation is a challenge, but they can hit the ball 1-9, so they've been a dead over team. No team in all of baseball has cashed more tickets betting over than the Los Angeles Angels. But let's talk about blindly teams, plus, minus, dogs, favorites, the moneymakers, okay? Obscure teams, the Pittsburgh Pirates.
Right.
One of the top money-making teams up to this point. The Cleveland Indians, up until recently, one of the top money-making teams. And a high-profile team that's always overvalued. This year, high-profile but undervalued, making good money, cashing tickets, the New York Yankees.
Well, that's because a lot of people don't think they're that good yet.
I'm one of those people.
But there's also some games.
Vernon Wells? Right? Are you kidding me?
I know this guy? He's been terrific.
Yeah, unbelievable.
But there's also, Scott, I think, in some of this factor, they're underpriced a lot of times. And I mean, like we talked about today, the Cardinals game, when the Cardinals are 33-17 playing a Royal team that's 1-9 their last 10 games, and the Royals are -110. I mean, to me, even though the Cardinals are starting a rookie pitcher, that lineup is still the Cardinals lineup. And by the way, oh yeah, they're playing in the American League ballpark, so there's no pitcher hitting. They get an extra bat in the lineup. I think there's some line disparity here.
Very good point, for sure. You're listening to The Odds Couple on KSHP, AM 1400 Radio Las Vegas. We're live and worldwide on Vegas Video Network. We're Monday through Friday from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. Brett Grant, GM, KSHP, will be with me tomorrow. My name's Scott Pritchard. founder of PritchardsPicks.com. Good luck and goodbye.